On the Pace, brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to CulbertyEquine.com.au.
On Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Here's
On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the end of the Minion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And it is 26 to 11. Let's head on the pace now with Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a big show lined up today. We're going to catch up with Anthony Butt, who drove a double at Menangle on Saturday night. Anthony, of course, domiciled in Victoria, former Kiwi. He drove the main double, really. Myfield Marshall won the open pace. The Group 3 race and Kye Valley Blur won the trot. So we'll catch up with Ants this morning and have a chat to him. We spoke with his brother last week about his move across to Australia. And I've got no doubts that in the back of Tim's mind about making the move from New Zealand to Australia was the fact that his brother Anthony, yes, different. Anthony's the driver and Tim's the trainer, but the success that Anthony's had in transitioning from New Zealand to Australia. So we'll catch up with Ants this morning. Also today, want to speak with Daniel Morgan. Now, I think we spoke with him back in February of this year after he drove four winners on the card. Well, he did it again on Saturday night at Newcastle. He's got a special relationship with a horse by the name of Never Know Aussie. Provided him with his first double, his first treble, and he was a part of the quartet that he drove back in February, and he did it again on Saturday night, and Never Know Aussie was part of that four winners, so we'll catch up with him. Also this morning, I want to speak with Caitlin McElhenney. You might know the surname McElhenney, of course, Glenn McElhenney and Tian, and she's now Sutton, but also Bryce McElhenney. Well, there's a new McElhenney on the scene, and it's Caitlin. She's only 16. We're going to drag her out of the classroom and have a chat to her in the show as well. We've been speaking with a few of the up-and-coming kids on the program over the last month or so. And also this morning, we'll speak with Marcus Miller. He's a driver in the US. He was the US representative at the World Driving Championships recently in Canada. But importantly, he's got a drive in the Little Brown Jug on Thursday. And his dad, Irv, is the trainer. So we'll catch up with Marcus this morning and have a chat to him about the Little Brown Jug. And looking forward to catching up with Marcus as well. But first up on the show this morning, we're going to speak with Anthony Butt, who had a good night at Tabcorp Park Menangle on Saturday night, picking up the double. Morning, Ants.
Yeah, morning, Greg.
Mate, Myfield Marshall and Kye Valley Blur, nice double. They both had to dig deep to win. Firstly, Myfield Marshall, that one run under his belt that he'd had at Menangle recently was enough to ensure that he got over the line on Saturday night, do you think?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He was a good run first up. He was probably just lacking a little bit of match fitness. And, you know, the other night he's really had to do a bit of work again and...
That
was a really good run.
What he's a horse that is very versatile in his racing pattern. We've seen him be so good when he's just off the speed against the very good ones, like in a race like the Len Smith Mile. But he's shown his versatility in the Sunshine Sprint, and again on Saturday night when he worked to the chair. Is there a best way to drive him, do you think?
Oh, I definitely think at the very top level he's better sort of set up a bit. But, you know, in saying that, he's definitely getting a little bit tougher all the time, and I think, you know, having sort of a few months on the Grand Circuit in the last year has sort of toughened him up with a bit of travelling as well. So, no, he's got an all-round game, and, you know, I think he's one of those horses he can just sort of drive to however the race is sort of panning out.
So, obviously, Tim's, you know, having a look at a race like the Victoria Cup, and you'd have to think that in his current form, he'd be very competitive. Currently a $5 chance with the tab. Do you think that he can be competitive in a race like that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, he proved at the end of last season, you know, he's running up with the best. You know, he's got a very good record against, you know, horses like Lenny the Shark and Hector J down that sort of thing. So, you know, they've been the benchmark for the last sort of 24 months. So, no, I think he's running up there with the best of, that we've got from Australia anyway.
And then he's a $12 chance in the Inter-Dominion. I read an article where Tim's saying, I just want to get him through the Victoria Cup until we definitely decide we make the trip across to the West. But there seems to be a push that that'll be the direction he goes. What about his ability to get around the smaller tracks? Is there any concern at all with that?
No, I think he'll be fine. He's a beautiful pacer and lovely steering horse. And even though he's quite a big fella, he's, you know, very light on his feet. But no, I don't think that'll be a worry at all.
And if you drew well around Gloucester Park, obviously gate speed's important. What's his gate speed like if you had to push him out?
Oh, no, I think he's pretty good. Yeah, he led in the Jules, you know, last year in New Zealand and won. And he's won plenty of races from in front. So, you know, you know, a little bit new to him. It's always heartbreaking on the first horse, you know, in their own backyards. But as I said before, he's very adaptable, and I'm sure he's plenty of gates with you if you need to push the button.
What about Kai Valley Blur? He had to pull out all stops on Saturday night. Good to see him get a victory. It had been a while between drinks for him, but he put the writing on the wall with a really strong performance at Melton the start prior.
Yeah, he's just been a great old horse, you know, the last two or three years. He, you know, competed at the highest level for a long time there, and, you know, he's a little bit one-dimensional in that he's, you know, he's a bit the same. He's probably better not used up too much, but the other night with the draw he had, and I was a little bit worried about David Aiken's horse, but got to the front and, you know, been racing really well in Melbourne for the last few months. So I sort of just wanted to get ahead of it early, and then it just sort of worked out that the front was there. And so, yeah, he had to sort of drive him like that. But he, you know, I think he's definitely better not doing that, but he's had the class to overcome it.
Mate, just having a look at your season last year, 113 winners in New Zealand, and that was good enough to have you sixth on the Victorian Premiership, and you won in excess of $1.1 million in stakes. The decision, we spoke with Tim on the show last week about the move across from New Zealand to Australia, and he's looking forward to the challenge. When you made the decision to move across from New Zealand to Australia, did it take you a while to establish yourself?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, Melbourne's a tough place to be a cash driver, you know. A lot of great drivers here, and they've obviously been here all their lives, so it's always hard to, you know, break in anywhere. But I was lucky. I sort of got great support from Brent Lloyd when I first moved over, and then since then, you know, picked up a few other teams to drive here and there. So, and then also been lucky getting on some really good New Zealand horses, you know, right from the week ago, like a Hoka Punter and, you know, Grace Mulder a couple of times last year, winning the big races, and you know, Keystone Down and Sunny Ruby and horses like that. So, you know, always getting those New Zealand ones, always a big help as well.
And importantly, 3 years in a row where, as a catch driver, you've been able to drive in excess of 100 winners. So, obviously the decision to move across to Victoria has been a good one for you.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, like, just got to save your life, just won the new challenge, and, you know, things look out really good. You know, Melbourne's a great place to be a catch driver. There's a lot of people that train and don't drive, so there's always, you know, people looking for drivers, and now, you know, a lot of racing. It's, you know, a bit different to home where we only race probably a couple of times a week, but, you know, we get very busy and, you know, racing or trolling just about every day. So that's the downside, but, you know, the good side is there's a lot of work here and a lot of winners to get.
We saw you head across or back to New Zealand last year over the Cup Carnival to drive a couple for Brent Lilly. Is there anything on the horizon for you again in that fashion, or will you miss Cup Week?
I'm not too sure yet. I see Brent's got a couple nominated, but we just play it by ear. Probably won't have anything in the New Zealand Cup this year, which will be the first time for a long time I won't have a drive in that, you know, this day. So, but I always like to get back to the week. It's a great week and great to catch up with everybody, and also good for business. You know, just touch base with a few people that may be bringing their horses over for the summer. So it's a good PR exercise, and always good socially as well.
For sure and certain. Hey, just quickly, later on tonight on In The Gig, we're going to be discussing the top five horses in the country at the moment, or in Australia and New Zealand. Is there any doubt for you who the best horse in this part of the world is right now?
Well, I think Lazarus was one last year, wouldn't he? He was, you know, awesome in the New Zealand Cup and, you know, raced really good all year, really. So he's probably the benchmark. But as you said, Mark Burton's just got an array of talent there. And, you know, any of the top four or five, everyone would love to have them in their stable. So, you know, he's pretty hard to compete with, but, you know, he can't be everywhere. And, you know, there's a lot of good racing in Aussie that he's not going to be yet. So we've got to take it for him.
Well, mate, congratulations with the double on Saturday night and good luck going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Rich.
There he is, Anthony Butt. He drove Myfield Marshall and Kai Valley Blur to victory on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Menangle. And we'll see more of Ant in those big feature races with Myfield Marshall coming up, including the Vic Cup and most likely the Inter-Dominion. Interesting, I bring that question up with Ants because we will be discussing the best paces in Australia. I think about this time last year we did something similar. We did a top five horses. I think Jason Bonington was my co-host at that stage, and Jason and I went through our top five horses. And look, it's a very subjective thing. Jason Lincoln, Jason Bonington on the program tonight, Sky 2 from 6 o'clock. But we're going to go through and list the top five horses in Australasia, and that includes with, you know, Hector JJ not being considered because he's out at the moment with injury. But an interesting little project to sit down and try and come up with your five best horses in Australasia in order. Don't forget next week on the pace, I should say, very important to point out that the show will probably be 5 or 10 minutes late because of the Epsom Barrier draw. So I will be here next Tuesday morning from 10:35, 10:40, whenever that barrier draw for the Epsom has been completed. I will be on with the show, so keep that in mind. If you're listening next week, 10:30, you tune in and the Harness program isn't straight up. We will be on straight after that barrier draw. Want to have a chat with Dan Morgan. 4 winners on Saturday night. I'm pretty sure we spoke to him back in the middle of February when he achieved the feat of driving 4 winners on a program as well. But I thought anytime a youngster drives 4 winners, it's worth getting him on the radio to have a chat about it. Dan, good morning.
Morning, Hazy. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, 4 winners. You've done it again. You must be pretty happy with that achievement.
Yeah, no, it was very good. I had a very good night. Out of 8 drives, we had 4 winners in 2 seconds. So it was a great night overall.
Was it a night where you thought going to the races, gee, I might have a good one, a good night at the office?
Surprisingly not really. The first one I knew, he's a nice little horse, Sonny McCarthy. He sort of drew wide and I thought he was still a good chance because of his ability. But yeah, the rest of them didn't sort of have the best draws, so I knew I needed a bit of luck to go my way.
All right, well, let's have a chat about them. You've mentioned Dynamic Archie. He did the job for you early on in the program, winning race number one. He drew wide on the track and was still too strong. Now, your next victory came up in race number 5 when you drove Sweet Ava to victory, a mare from barrier number 7. There was a favourite in the race from Sydney, the Kerry Ann Turner train promoted. Sweet Ava, what are your thoughts on her?
She's an honest little mare, Hazy. Dad actually bought her with an owner of ours from Melbourne, and she's won 5 for us now. She's done a great little job. So with a bit of speed on up front, it really suited her down to the ground with that headwind up the straight there on Saturday night. So she was sort of a bit strong at the end. Yeah, she's a nice little mare.
So the wind played havoc a little bit on Saturday night?
Yeah, it did for the leaders. It sort of knocked them up a little bit. So the ones with the sit and shot were sort of benefited well.
Mr. Tapto Lombo won race number 9 for you. Again, drew wide on the track. He carried saddlecloth 10. He came into barrier number 9. There was an odds-on favourite in that race for Roy Roots Jr. Architecture, but Mr. Tapto Lombo was too strong?
Yeah, he drew wide, but obviously he was well in with the claim and third up back from a spell that was going to suit him down to the ground. So no, he went really well. He had to come from back near the tail and 26 first quarter or something, so that suited him as well.
And then you won the last. Elect to Go was the short price favourite, but Never Know Aussie. This bloke must be your favourite horse. He's a 9-year-old. He has been such an important part of your career as a driver. To win again on him, that must have been pretty special.
Oh, it was, Hazy. I knew when I had the 3, I sort of, with having him last, I had a big shot at it. My sister said to me before I was going on the track, she does a lot of work for him. She said, you know, if he didn't win, he'd go pretty close. So I was pretty confident sort of going into the race. I knew that obviously there was a short price favourite in it, but, you know, he can only be driven one way and it was sort of suited them ones all night. So, you know, he's a really good horse. He's pretty special to me.
I was just having a quick look through the stats on your career. I'm pretty sure the first time you got a double, he was part of the double. First time he got a treble, he's part of that. First time 4 winners, he was part of that. And then again on Saturday night when he got 4 winners. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He's always been pretty special. He seems to like the special occasions, that's for sure.
Mate, and I notice, obviously, you picked up the 4 winners on Saturday night. That gives you 104 career winners. So you've only recently brought up 100 winners in the sulky, and that's a massive achievement considering the issues that you've had along the way.
Oh, definitely. I was sort of very excited when I got to the 100. That was a great achievement. So, yeah, no, Saturday night was another great night, but as well.
Will we see you make the trip down to Menangle soon and have a go, or you're happy to cherry pick at home and pick up race winners up there?
Oh, it's always been a bit of a thought, but I'm sort of happy doing what I'm doing at the moment. A lot of great trainers give me a lot of opportunity up here, so you know, I'm very thankful for that, but we'll just have to see what happens in the future.
Well, mate, you're doing a fantastic job. Another 4 winners on Saturday night. You deserve a rap for the achievement, and best of luck going forward.
All right. Thank you, Hazy. Thanks for having me on the show.
There he is, Dan Morgan. Another 4 winners. Dynamic Archie, Sweet Ava, Mr. Tapto Lombo, and Never Know Aussie. Pretty special horse for him. So well done to Daniel. And another 4 winners in the book. Did it on the 11th of February this year, and we spoke with him. We're sponsored by Cobbett Equine Farm, of course. So that's the home of Bling It On, and also For a Reason. For those interested, we do have a special on Bling It on In The Gig next Tuesday. So that will be Tuesday week, Sky 2 from 6 o'clock. Of course, plenty of people would know the story about Bling It On. He was involved in that nasty fall at Albion Park back earlier in the year. There was some concern that that could be the end of him. While he was undergoing his rehabilitation, the decision was made by Connections to put the horse to stud, and I've been out at the property of Luke and Belinda McCarthy recently, and I've put together a story on Bling It On and his comeback and also his time at stud. So make sure that's next Tuesday. Looking forward to bringing you the story of Bling It On and his possible racetrack return. Make sure you stay tuned for that one. What about Caitlin McElhenney? We know the surname McElhenney. There are plenty of them involved in harness racing, and they all do a very good job. But there's a new McElhenney on the scene. She's only young. She's only 16, but she has made a really good start to her driving career. She had her first drive this year back on September 1, and she's already registered her first victory. Ken Fury Lass was a winner for her on Saturday night, and she's joining me on the program to have a chat. Morning, Caitlin.
Good morning.
Congratulations with that first win on Saturday night.
Thank you.
Now, Ken Fury Lass is a horse that you're never going to forget. Provided you with your first place getter at Young going back just over a week ago, and it was a really good run on that occasion and put the writing on the wall. But then its effort in winning on Saturday night must be very special for you and something you'll never forget.
Yeah, it was a really great moment.
Tell us a little bit about the drive, because you were a long way back in the race. Did you think you were a winning chance with a lap to go?
I was a bit far back on the pegs and I didn't really know what was going to happen. But once I found the room, she just sprinted home good.
She did hit the line extremely well. There was a wall of horses in front of you halfway up the straight. You're able to squeeze through there. What about that feeling when you hit the line and you were the winner? Have you ever experienced anything like that in the past?
Not really. To be honest, I was in a bit of a shock and it didn't really register till like after that I actually won.
So it must have made the trip home a little bit better from Newcastle?
Yeah, it did.
All right. Now, you attend school. You're still at school?
Yeah.
And what do you want to do once you've finished your schooling?
Well, I want to keep going in harness racing and hopefully be a successful driver.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your interest. Have you come through the mini trots?
Yeah, I did like 7 years, I think, in the mini trots.
And that's given you a good grounding for the move into the bigger
it
horses.
Really,
did you have a lot of success in the mini trots?
Yeah, I did actually. I had a really good pony that I got with my cousin Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
All right. So where do you fit in with the McElhenney family? Obviously, there's cousins and uncles, but who's your parents and what relation are you to Glenn?
My parents are Adrian and Leanne McElhenney, and Glenn's my uncle.
Okay, and I remember speaking with your dad, Adrian, about him driving a winner a couple of years ago and when he broke through for a victory. So you've been able to bring up a victory very early in your career. Hopefully there's plenty more to come. When are you next likely to have your next drive?
Hopefully Friday night at Wagga if the horses get around.
Okay, so you don't mind travelling? Like you've been at Young and Newcastle and now off to Wagga, hopefully. Well, all the best of luck if the horses get a run and hopefully that second winner's not too far away.
Thank you.
There she is, Caitlin McElhenney. She's at school. She came out of class to speak to us, so we thank her for that. But it's been really good over the last few weeks to have a chat with these up-and-coming youngsters who are breaking through for their first victories. And you'll hear more of Caitlin as well. So congratulations to Caitlin as her career continues on. I mentioned earlier on in the program, we've slated in an interview with Marcus Miller for 5 to 11. Now, unfortunately, we'll see how we go with Marcus because he is driving. Well, he has been driving at Pocono this evening, our time, or Monday night in America, which is now, I think his last race drive was scheduled for 10:24 our time. So hopefully the races are running on time and he'll be able to jump on the phone and have a chat to us. the nephew of Andy Miller, who would be known by harness racing fans here in Australia. Of course, has had plenty of success over in the United States. I mentioned that I met Marcus over in Canada for the World Driving Championships. He and his wife, Sarah, were there, and Marcus did a fantastic job, led the series early on, and was beaten into a placing by James McDonald. We spoke with James on the program only a couple of weeks ago. But it's great to welcome Marcus on the show this morning. The reason we're having a chat with Marcus, he's got a drive in the Little Brown Jug for his dad later on in the week, Chip Walter, and Marcus is joining me on the program. Morning, Marcus.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Mate, really well. Great to catch up with you again. How was your night tonight at Poconos?
You know what? I had a pretty good night. I ended up winning a couple. One of them paid big odds. The other one is a pretty nice little two-year-old trot in Philly. So it was a good night.
And so what's the plans for the rest of the week? You got to make the trip to Ohio soon?
I'm actually racing back here at Poconos tomorrow night. And then I'm headed to Chester for a couple of days. I'm going to race there on Wednesday and then fly out Wednesday night to the Little Brown Jug and be there for Thursday.
All right. Now, the Little Brown Jug, have you had drives in it before?
No, I've actually only ever driven one race at Delaware. It was like 2007, 2008, and it was an amateur race.
So there's a lot of water's flowed under the bridge since then.
Yeah, big difference.
Mate, do you going into the Little Brown Jug, do you give Chip Walter a chance going in? He's obviously drawn poorly, but he was a two-year-old that came on late towards the end of the season, but he looks to be racing well at the moment.
Oh, you know what? He's just been average this year. Like last year, he finished the year out, like you said, really strong. He's got a really quick turn of foot. And then this year he's been a little bit of a disappointment, but they kind of figured it was going to be a short field. We were hoping to draw inside. You know, that makes a big difference. We didn't, obviously, through the eight hole. But he's a very, very fast horse. And last year when he got good was when he started racing at Lexington, which is a similar surface, you know, like the more of a dirt clay than the limestone that he's been racing on. So I think that helps him. I think that helps his feet. So we're kind of hoping, you know, like, get a little bit lucky and maybe something crazy will happen and we can be the big upset.
The connection's obviously thought enough of him at the start of his three-year-old season because he was staked for some pretty big races, including the Breeders' Crown. So the way that he finished his two-year-old season, connection's thought enough of him to pay some money up to put him in some of these big races.
Yeah. Like he won a big odds in Lexington last year. And I think he paced the back half in like 52-2 or something crazy. He was like next to the longest shot on the board, and he swooped some really nice horses. And ever since then, he won a couple more late on after that. So we know he's fast enough. He's definitely, you know, as fast as any three-year-old going right now. He just hasn't been able to put the whole mile together yet. But, you know, there's a lot of money still on the table, and hopefully the jug kicks it off.
Down by the Seaside and Fear the Dragon, are they the two horses to beat in the Little Brown Jug?
Oh, absolutely. Brian Brown's on a tear right now, and we're going right into his backyard. So I'd imagine he's going to have those two as sharp as they've been all year, and that's just been unbelievable so far how good they've been. So, yeah, they're definitely the two to beat. You know, it's hard. You know, normally when you have two horses that are both as good as they are, you hope they are going to take each other down swinging, but they are coming from the same barn, so I don't know if we'll be able to count on that as much. But, you know, somebody's going to take a shot at him, and that's what I need to happen since I'll be coming from, you know, a little farther back.
Yeah, sure. What about going forward? Breeders' Crown, anything that you'll be driving being aimed towards that?
Yeah, actually, I have a couple really nice two-year-old trotting fillies. I got one New York bred, and the other one just won the Kentucky Sire Stakes final last night at Lexington. She's trotted 54 and a piece, so I think between those two, they both have a shot, and I got another nice two-year-old pace in Philly that kind of is just now rounding into form, similar to what Some Moment Somewhere did last year. She's just now starting to get good. So I got a few that I think are live. Hopefully I'll get to hang out with you at Hoosier.
Yeah, that should be exciting. What about, how's everything been for you since the World Driving Championship, since you've returned home? Straight back into the winner's list for you?
Yeah, it's been going pretty good. I've won a few Sire Stakes. I've been traveling around like crazy. I've been about everywhere here in the States since the trip, but But, yeah, it's been going pretty good. That was really some trip, though. I don't know. It'll be hard to top those memories, that's for sure.
That's for sure. And how's Sarah going? Everything good?
Yeah, yep. She's doing very good. She's doing very good. We're actually hopefully we're thinking about making a trip down your way in December, so hopefully that works out.
Mate, that would be fantastic if we do see you here in Australia, and I know the Aussie trainers would love to see you here as well. Mate, all the best of luck in the Little Brown Jug later on in the week. We'll be cheering very loudly, and hopefully we can hear you win the Little Brown Jug.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I'll need cheering from everybody all over, so I appreciate that. Hopefully see you soon.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
There he is, Marcus Miller, US driver, represented his country at the World Driving Championships. Lovely bloke. Wouldn't meet a nicer fella. And he and his wife, Sarah, part of that trip for the World Driving Championships. He mentioned he's got that drive in the Little Brown Jug this week. And we wish Chip Walter all the best of luck. His father, Irv, is the trainer of the horse, Irv Miller, who would be well known to people who know harness racing on that side of the world. And there you go. There's a little piece of information for you. He's looking at a trip down under a little bit later on in the year. And hopefully we can release some bigger news about that in the gig next Tuesday. But that might be something to hang on to for another week or so. And that was the Little Brown Jug. We'll have a full wrap-up of that race on In the Gig and on the Pace next Tuesday. The reason for that, a lot of people may not be massive fans of the US trotting scene, but we do see a lot of the stallions who win that race come down and stand here at stud. So we always take note of the horses that win the Little Brown Jug. Cozzy, back again next Tuesday. Of course, You've got the Epsom Barrier draw on Tuesday morning at around 10:30. So I will jump on at the tail end of that barrier draw and looking forward to being with you again next week.
Terrific. Good on you, Greg. Have a great week.
Thanks, mate.
Greg Hayes.